Hello and welcome to Up to Date. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to get you up to date at your own pace with what's happening here at WVIA and in Northeast and Central Pennsylvania. We're bringing you the most interesting and important stories from around the region every weekday. Today, we'll get an inside look at the sci-fi-esque tech in Scranton's new police cars. High school students learn to fly drones, and we're talking about a close encounter of the Carbondale kind. It's Wednesday, April 2nd. Let's get you up to date. First, we'll fly over to Schuylkill County, where a new program at Pottsville Area High School takes learning to new heights. This fall, students can take a course that will help them become certified drone pilots. Another planned course will teach students advanced drone skills. WVIA's Sarah Hofius Hall has more from the skies above the school.
The drone hovered over the football field at Pottsville Area High School. Teacher Stephen Horvath moved it higher and lower. It zipped past the students who stood on the track. Juniors Quinn Evans and Adam Klinger watched closely. Both will take the new drone course in the fall. They plan to become drone pilots. Adam says the class won't be traditional.
Getting to engage in it, and you get to go outside and you get to fly drones, which not a lot of schools, if any, have something like that.
Students will learn about the weather, how to read maps for navigation, and the basics of drone inspection and flying. A second course will delve deeper, looking at thermography and how to conduct aerial inspections. Horvath says that some people think drones are toys. He says they're much more than that.
It's really a wonderful tool that we have through the magic of robotics that allows us to go places that we couldn't go in the past, or we can do things more safely, more cheaply. And the fact that we can prepare our students for that, that's a great step in the right direction.
Quinn wants to become a full-time firefighter after graduation. Drones can help firefighters with tracking wildfires, identifying hotspots, and search and rescue missions.
Once I'm done my 4 years here, this is something that'll benefit me after.
Reporting from Pottsville, I'm Sarah Hofius Hall, WVIA News.
Now we'll head back to Scranton. So picture this: cars that communicate with each other, lights that sync up automatically. Sounds kind of like something from a sci-fi movie or an 80s television crime drama. Instead, it's advanced technology inside the Scranton Police Department's new patrol cars. The new systems use artificial intelligence to help officers with the department's core mission, public safety. WVIA's Kat Bolas has more from the front seat, not the back seat, of the new cars.
A camera mounted to one of the department's new police vehicles picked up a suspect running in front of the car. That footage helped officers investigate a deadly shooting last April in North Scranton.
I don't think you can get a better police car right now than what the city of Scranton is providing for us.
That's Patrolman Robert Hegedus. He manages the department's fleet. Scranton police have used advanced technology in its patrol vehicles for the past year. The new Ford SUVs and Dodge Durangos can essentially talk to each other. The software links up with officers' body cameras. Scranton Police Chief Thomas Carroll says the department is at the forefront of the new technology for law enforcement.
A lot of diligence was put into what it was that we were going to acquire and how we were going to use it.
The system beeps when patrol cars are about 30 seconds away from each other. And when they show up to incidents, blue and red vehicle lights automatically sync up. Hegedus says it's less chaotic.
It's a dramatic safety feature, because we've lost vehicles in the past where people have driven into the back of the cars and destroyed the vehicle.
Then there's the recording features. All video captured in the field is uploaded to the cloud. Officers or detectives also working on the crime can access that information in real time. The cars record every license plate that officers pass by while on patrol. When officers turn on their sirens, the cameras start rolling.
Within 3 seconds, it'll start recording and it activates your body cam. We have a lot of features in this car that activate the body cam. If you open your gun lock, it activates the body cam. If you turn your lights and sirens on, it activates the body cam. If you unholster your weapon, it activates the body cam. And all the ones around you.
A set of cameras mounted to the top of the windshield can easily move around to capture different angles. That footage is used for investigations and in court. Here's Carol again.
I think the best part about it is the transparency We have very professional police officers, and we don't mind showing that.
There's also responder to vehicle technology. The system sends alerts to GPS systems on cell phones and in cars to alert drivers to the location of emergency vehicles. The new cars even benefit the canine officers.
If the car gets too hot, it'll activate alarms within the car. So the lights and sirens will flash, the windows will drop, an auxiliary fan will drop down, turn on, and then it'll send a signal to the officer's cell phone.
The new vehicles are police departments on wheels. There's Wi-Fi and a laptop mounted from the dash. There's even printers for citations. Hegedus says when he started as a police officer 17 years ago, they drove Crown Vics with radio and siren boxes on the floor.
We used to have to call everything in over the radio. Now you can run people's registration plates here. You can run people's licenses here. You can go onto the internet site that's available to law enforcement, pull up their driving history and stuff like that.
Carol describes the cars as a valuable resource to fight crime and keep not only the residents of Scranton safe, but also his officers.
And we have proven that over and over again, especially this past year.
He says Scranton Police is a leader in the industry. Reporting from Scranton, I'm Kat Bolis, WVIA News.
More up to date after this break.
I'm Roger Dupuy from WVIA News. If you haven't already, sign up to get our free newsletter, WVIA News Notes. It's delivered right to your email inbox each Tuesday and Friday mornings. Go to WVIA.org and click on newsletters to subscribe.
Welcome back. So you might have caught this out of this world story on Morning Edition today, but just in case you missed it, here's Kat again with a special midweek edition of News Voices.
You're listening to Morning Edition here on WVIA Radio. I'm Kat Bolis, and this is a special edition of News Voices. Today, I'm sitting down with WVIA filmmaker Alexander Minnelli.
Hey, what's up, Kat?
So Al and I worked together on an original documentary about a mysterious incident 5 decades ago in Carbondale. The VIA short take premieres on Facebook and YouTube today at 10 a.m. So Al, tell me about the day Carbondale stood still.
Well, first off, thank you, Kat, for having me on and for working on this film with me. I mean, you went above and beyond, and this is just as much your film as it is mine, so I'm truly happy and excited to premiere this today and to have our names on it. Yeah, of course. So in November of 1974, a bunch of people claimed to have seen a light in the sky, a UFO-looking light, and these kids reported seeing it land in this pond in Carbondale, thus opening this saga that lasted for a couple of days. There are a lot of twists and turns in this story. So it's really a web of mystery about, did a UFO land? If not, what was it?
Al and I, we went out and we interviewed some of the organizers of the Carbondalian Festival. And one of the things that stuck out to me was that the organizers wanted to celebrate this kind of wondrous thing that happened in Carbondale. And Al, I think you did a really good job of getting into that in your documentary. Was that important?
Yeah, I mean, it really became an urban legend. The issue, though, was there are a lot of variations and stories and stretching of certain facts. So it was nice to actually go back into some of the old news stories and find some of the actual factual things that happened. But I think what you were touching on, and this is one reason why I love Carbondale now, they are leaning into this. It's 50 years later and they threw a whole festival to celebrate this like, did it happen or not? Kind of weird, fun story. But just the wonder of it all, like you said, I mean, that was really what inspired me and drove me into this story and where I kind of landed in terms of structuring things and how to tell the story. I wanted you to feel this sense of wonder about it because it did bring the town together briefly. I mean, 10,000 people were at this pond, you know, a day after it happened. You know, things like that don't happen so much anymore. We all have our own algorithms giving us what we want. And for this one brief moment, we were all united or at least Carbondale was, in what is this?
One of the things that I think was interesting for both of us was George Graham here at the station had tape from like 2 days after the incident happened. And for me, you know, just in my reporting, that was a really cool element to it. And then Jerome Gillott brought us more day of tape. Do you get a lot of that, you know, in the stories that you work on?
Well, I don't know if I get to this level, to this degree. Like, these are things that have not been heard in 50 years. You know, we even got that song from a local musician.
Oh, the song was great.
Yeah, Dave White. And then, yeah, Jerome just showed up. We did an interview with him. He was the photographer who was there that night when it happened. And he brought this tape recording of the police chief at the time talking about what their investigation kind of brought forth. If it was just me working on this film, I don't know if I would have gotten those things. So again, that's why I'm really proud of this film and really proud of our collaboration on it. And I hope we can do another one. So.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I think everyone who watches it is going to kind of fall in love with the mystery of the Carbondalian, as they like to call it. What do you kind of hope people take away from the short take?
I would really like if people were like, oh, I want to go check out Carbondale now. After seeing this, I think you might be intrigued to say, you know what? I got to check out this. I got to read about this. I got to go visit Carbondale. I got to go see that silt pond, you know, behind Russell Park. There is progress happening in Carbondale. I mean, you can see it. There's a lot of businesses. There's a lot of people and excitement. And there is a mood in Carbondale that is improving and increasing, to me at least. So hopefully it inspires people that way and just entertains you and delights you for 10 minutes.
Sure. Well, Al, thank you for chatting with me this morning.
Thanks, Kat.
You're welcome. Stay with us here on WVIA Radio.
That was a special edition of News Voices, which you can normally catch Fridays during Morning Edition. All right, I hope you're feeling up to date. Find all of these stories and more at WVIA.org. Thanks for hanging out with me here on Up to Date today. I'm Sarah Cinto, and if you want to keep hearing my voice and the rest of the WVIA news team, remember to subscribe and listen every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts, or right at WVIA.org. And don't forget to subscribe to the WVIA News Notes newsletter, too. You'll get all the local stories you need to know every Tuesday and Friday morning. Have a great Wednesday. I'll catch you tomorrow.